We survived Sunday. That says a lot about us. So we want to, gang, get settled around. We're going to start our morning. As we went over our week's agenda yesterday, and as you've had the slide set for a week, you know who the presenters are in theory and now in person. This is the start of the week where you're going to meet almost every leader of each of the supporting organizations, advisory committees, or stakeholder groups in ICANN. And this is a special opportunity because no one gets to have this kind of an intimate setting in order to listen to what the community, what each of the community groups represent, and also an opportunity to ask questions and not in a room of 300 people. So first up for us is this morning is all about the commercial stakeholder group, part of the GNSO. And we will have first from the business constituency, Marilyn Cade and Chris Chaplow, the chair and vice chair. Good morning, guys, and welcome.
Good morning.
The mic's all yours.
Good morning. My name is Marilyn Cade, and by the time you leave the ICANN meeting, you will recognize the back of my head, and my name is Marilyn Cade because I'm at the microphone a lot, and I'd like to see all of you there with me. The business constituency was one of the founding constituencies of ICANN, and Chris is sharing with you a newsletter that the business constituency recently inaugurated and has published now. This is our fourth edition. We are the only constituency who publishes our own newsletter, and we do all of the work ourselves. Chris is the mastermind behind this, but you'll see a good deal of the content in it comes from the chair. I am the chair. We have three vice chairs, and one of the fabulous things that we have done, which everyone now in ICANN can refer to in the centerfold, is a schematic that explains the organizational structure of ICANN on the left-hand side and of the GNSO on the right-hand side, and the names of the elected leaderships and executive committees. You'll find it difficult to find that anywhere else, but it may be helpful for you throughout this period, and then it's also on our website. There are two articles in the newsletter that I want to point out to you to use them to explain to you what the business constituency at ICANN focuses on. So you're going to hear terms like contracted parties, registries and registrars, terms like CCTLDs, and I know that many of you are very familiar with the functions and the importance of the role of CCTLDs in bringing connectivity throughout the world. But you're also going to hear terms like, and we speak in acronyms here, I know Janice has already told you that, we need a whole new code book. We could probably spend an hour just saying acronyms to each other, not very helpfully, so I'll try to avoid that. The business constituency is different than some of the other constituencies inside the GNSO in that we focus on governance of ICANN, the impact of external forces on ICANN's mission and function, on security, stability, and resiliency. And the opening article is an article that features the CSO, the Chief Security Officer, and Patrick Jones, and then on the GTLD policy. And there's an article on pages 6 and 7 which give a few highlights of the new GTLD program and identify a particular area of focus for the business users right now, and that is improving the rights protection mechanisms in order to prevent cyber squatting, fraudulent registrations, and the high cost of defensive registrations for brand holders because of the negative and harmful impact of phishing, farming, DDoS attacks, etc., from exploited domains. So we're a little different, but you're going to be hearing from Steve Metallitz, I think, from the intellectual property constituency. They're a sister constituency. They also focus on trademark protection issues. We look at it and drive from a protect the user perspective, protect the infrastructure perspective, be sure that the internet is secure, stable, reliable, and resilient because of the harm to business and to users if it's not. So our focus is a little different. We're much like the business folks you encounter in your country in terms of the things we prioritize. The other thing that's quite unique about us is the amount of time we spend, many of our members spend, on dealing with external threats to ICANN. That is the interest of other parties to take over some of their functions or the misunderstandings that exist around the world on what it is that ICANN does and how to participate. We have an awareness and outreach initiative, and I'm not going to have a chance to say a whole lot more about that. I'm going to turn this over to Chris, but I'd like to say a couple of words about finding us. We have a a meeting on Tuesday afternoon. It's in the agenda. And for all of you who are particularly interested in business user issues, this is an open meeting. Our meeting is open, and we would certainly welcome seeing you there. And since we do have a limited amount of time, Chris, I'm going to turn it over to you to explain the unique role and functions that you drive, and then we'll have time for a couple of questions.
Great. Thanks very much, Marilyn. My name is Chris Chaplow, and I'm the Vice Chair for Finance and Operations in the business constituency. So that is nothing to do with the policy side. Marilyn and our other Vice Chair, Steve Del Bianco, look after the policy side. My background is simply I run a small business. It's actually a website, commercial tourist information portal called Andalusia.com in southern Spain. I'm British, but I moved there 20 years ago. And in 2008, I was curious about ICANN, like yourselves, got interested in it. I went to the Paris meeting, which was my first one in 2008, and sort of got hooked on there. Rather than sort of wandering around the meeting, I sort of looked for a constituency. And for me, the business constituency was the home and the natural place that I should belong to. And it's a lot better being at ICANN when you've got a home of a constituency. I can sort of say that. And like yourselves, at that time, you're wandering around. Everything's really daunting, trying to find information. And you really, it's actually quite good to take notes of that because when you look back at it, you see all the things. We've talked about acronyms, and that's something else I'll just mention in a moment. So within the business constituency, finance and operations is looking after the internal affairs, the budgets of the constituency. We do have a small budget. We have about 50 members. We charge them a subscription, an annual due, to use the American phrase. And we spend that money on a mixture of things. We have a part-time secretariat. We have things like the newsletter, which traditionally we funded ourselves. And what we try to include in the newsletter is not just the policy, but useful information to help both our members and other people in the community. So I think if you'd look, turn to the centre page of the newsletter, you can see we call it in Spanish an organogram, which is the chart of or the structure of ICANN, which is quite confusing. And I can tell you now that even people that have been in ICANN many, many years still get confused, and you still hear people get this wrong. So that's a very useful chart, and there's also the names of the people that are in the various roles in the different constituencies there. And, of course, Pride of Place, the top left-hand corner, is a photograph of the board, which was taken at the Prague meeting. So you can recognise the people, board members on there. I think there's only one board member standing down end of term here at this meeting. So that would be a good guide, and all the names there from left to right. Just one other quick thing I just want to mention is that we did develop in the business constituency an acronym buster, which was is a little tool, and it's on the Business Constituency website, and it's also on the GNSO website, and now on the main ICOM website, just at the bottom if you haven't seen it. And you can type in the letters of an acronym, GNSO, and as you type in, the actual word comes there, comes for you. Because I do the finance for the business constituency, our own internal budgets, I also represent the business constituency on some of the internal activities such as the ICAN finance and budget and the STRAT plan. So the actual policy activities of the internet are dealt with by our other vice chair. And I do the internal ones and some of the matters that are perhaps more housekeeping and nonetheless very important for ICANN, but not necessarily the policy ones. I think that's about all I'll say just for now. Marilyn, hand over for questions.
Let me say a couple of other things. So we look at our responsibility at ICANN in a way that I hope we will gain your support for and gain your active endorsement and involvement in. And that is, it isn't just important to be aware of ICANN, but it is important to understand what ICANN does. And it is also... So that's one base level that we all can contribute to, not necessarily by participating in ICANN, but really by understanding the landscape of internet governance and the role, the various role of various organizations in a coexistent and cooperative mode. ICANN is a new entrant. We will be 15 years old next year. And it is true, I was heavily involved in founding ICANN. But it's tough for the incumbents to move over. And some of you are from perhaps telecom backgrounds or other places, and you understand the issue of incumbents moving over. But the world has changed. And ICANN is now a part of the governance structure. So it's really important to contribute to governance of ICANN. And that involves being involved in policy, but it's not only about policy. So we have a philosophy of trying to build awareness and understanding, and then on top of that, building participation and active involvement. And I just want to introduce you to someone, and that is Gabby, who's here at the table with us. And you'll see she's featured in one of the pictures on the back page. Gabby came to the business constituency through the fellowship program and made the mistake of introducing herself and her partner to Chris and me and said, can we join the business constituency and get involved? And I think she's still dizzy from the amount of work we've been getting her involved in. So you'll see Gabby, for instance, in the newcomers lounge. Someone who has turned that awareness and understanding into practice and participation. So we want you to think of us as, regardless of whether you're a business user or not, we want you to think of us as one of your partners at ICANN, and also to think of us as one of your partners if you're involved in the Internet Governance Forum in Baku or in national or regional Internet Governance Forums. Many of the people who are involved in the business constituency are very actively engaged in those fora as well, and some of you, your countries, have had national or regional initiatives. Let me take a couple of questions, and then I know our next speaker is here.
I feel like we're in a sleepy place this morning. We need to shake ourselves out of. But when we have the presenters here who are the chairs and have grown up in the ICANN community, in this multi-stakeholder model, the questions don't have to be directly about the business constituency, in the sense that I think when I first came in my mind, you know, what question would I have about the business constituency? That's not my world, or that's not my head. But the work that goes on inside the business constituency is the work that goes on in all of the constituencies, with a bend towards and an eye and an ear towards the business. So a question you may have about ICANN should come to someone who is experienced about ICANN, no matter which constituency they stand for. So I think it's really important you start to open your mind about that a little bit. I know we have a lot of new folks here, and so the concept and the words and things can kind of get scrambled. But again, the folks that are sitting at this table here to my left, me to the right is a newbie with 5 years. To my left are folks that are experienced in the world that they come from, as well as inside ICANN. So if there's any question at all that you have just about the ICANN space, multi-stakeholder model, and or the business constituency, it's a great time to ask.
Well, first I'd like to thank you for being here so early in the morning. We really appreciate it. You were talking about the external forces that can impact the ICANN's mission. So I wonder if you see, like, the upcoming WCID. It's a tricky question. Upcoming as a threat, and how the business constituency is working, if it's preparing for it. Okay.
So let me announce that I am a member of the United States delegation to the WCID. So for those of you who are coming to Dubai, you should wave at me and we'll see each other, right? Many of you, your government representatives, will be there. I am actively involved as well in the preparation for the World Telecommunications Policy Forum, which will take place next May, and is a very related issue. The previous version of our newsletter has a roadmap of key events, and we can send Janice the link to that, because some of you may be interested in taking a look at how we see this. We are on the road to 2015. And on the road to 2015, which is WISIS plus 10, the World Summit plus 10, we are going to go to a number of destinations where internet governance is going to be discussed. One of them is the International Telecommunications Union, World Telecommunications International Conference. This is the first time that the treaty on ITRs, International Telecommunications Regulations, has been updated since 1988. And the key thing that that treaty did at that time was to support the liberalization and privatization of telecommunications. And so that treaty is not responsible for the internet, but the liberalization and privatization of telecommunications has contributed to the platform upon which the internet and online services are built. So there's a lot of discussions going on at the treaty about, you know, small changes to the treaty, big changes to the treaty. For the business constituency, we have treated this as external forces, and the members who are actively engaged in these issues in their outside life keep each other updated and share information. On Thursday of this week, there is a fabulous workshop called ICANN and the Internet Governance Landscape. And I do, some of you, I know 16 of you have been here previously, but I do really commend that workshop to you, because experts who are actively involved both in internet governance and will be participating in the WCID will be there talking about updates. For us broadly, I think what we're looking for as business users is a coexistence among the organizations and a mutual respect and acceptance of the different roles that different entities play. ICANN's very different as a multi-stakeholder model than it was the first, and we continue to pioneer. The Internet Governance Forum is different in that all parties act on an equal footing, and we do not make binding decisions at the IGF. At ICANN, we set policy and set standards, as well as doing other things. So this issue about understanding ICANN, I think one of the biggest challenges we face at the WCID this fall is, for many of you in your country, your negotiators who've been working for 2 years on what changes to make in this treaty, they may have never been to an ICANN meeting. you have been, but they may not have been. So creating that understanding, I think, is the challenge. That is the part of the challenge in the BC that we do focus on.
So as the committee which represents, let's say, most of the business for Wicked, you will have a little bit difficult situation between the, let's say, world of operators, which would like to get their share of money from those who deliver the content. So this is the famous ETNO and 109 issue. Does ICANN as such has any position to whether this proposal 109 is okay or wrong, or you say it's not our business?
So ICANN is, many of you have heard the parable of the nine blind men and the elephant. Nine blind monks began a big debate about what an elephant was. And the prince decided that they should see an elephant, which meant they should feel the elephant. So they surrounded the elephant and touched the elephant. And to one, the elephant was a trunk, and to another, a tree trunk, and to another, it was a boulder. They were talking, touching the side. To another, it was a snake. It was the tail. ICANN is a little bit like that in that it is where you work at ICANN. That is what ICANN is to you. To me, we would not, as the business constituency, say that it is ICANN's job to take a position about this. But we do think that it is ICANN's community's responsibility to understand what is going on around us and to act responsibly. So ICANN is attending briefing sessions. They were just at the ITU at this meeting I was at. They are providing information in from the staff level. The community of individuals, people like me, are very actively involved. Tony Holmes, who you'll hear from later, who just walked in, is also quite expert in this area. So I would say not an official position from ICANN, but that workshop is an example of providing information and using the community of experts to provide that exchange of information. And I'm happy to talk privately with any of you, and you can find Chris and I. I'll be at the microphone. Be there with me.
Thank you, Marilyn and Chris. And Gabby. Just a note, and Marilyn made the comment, and I just want to reiterate, when you come up to the microphone or you're sitting at the mic, please introduce yourself and where you are from or who you represent. One of the very important lessons that you learn here is that you are here as an individual. You may also be here representing an organization. And so when you're asking a question, it's very important, and it might not be today in this comfortable setting, of course, but in a public forum or another place, that you make sure that for the record it's understood whether you're speaking for yourself or you're speaking on the behalf of an organization. And if you are speaking on behalf of an organization, you better be sure that the organization has approved that privilege. Okay, but it's a lesson from ICANN to start off with. So from the commercial stakeholder group, now we have our second chair, Steve Metalitz, from the intellectual property constituency. Steve, welcome to the fellowship room.
Thank you very much, Janice. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're off to a good start at this ICANN meeting. That one thing I noticed walking over here, since I'm not staying in this hotel, is that I think we're going to have to make an effort to see daylight in this meeting. Yeah. It's dark when you walk over, and it's dark when we end our session. So take a break sometime during the day and go walk around Toronto, which is a great city, and see it in the daylight. I'm hoping I can do that. So far, I haven't managed it. My name is Steve Metalitz. I'm the president of the intellectual property constituency, which is one of the three constituencies in the commercial stakeholder group. I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I'm an attorney. I practice in Washington, D.C., and for many years I've represented mostly trade associations and coalitions of businesses that depend on copyright protection. And in our country, and in, I'm sure, every country represented around this table, this is an increasing and increasingly dynamic part of the economy. It accounts for a very large percentage of your gross domestic product. It employs many people in your country. And I'm talking about industries such as software, video games in many cases, audiovisual works like movies and television, music, both writing music, performing music, recording music, and books, text, databases, these types of things, all of which have protection by under copyright laws around the world. That makes me a little bit unusual in the intellectual property constituency because more of our members are actually focused on trademark protection. But obviously there are overlaps between these, and every business everywhere in the world, I think, has a stake in trademark protection. It's not just businesses that have a stake in this, though. You hear a lot about, I'm sure you've heard these phrases like security and stability, which occurs many times in ICANN's governing documents and the bylaws and so forth. That our goal is to preserve the security and stability of the domain name system, or perhaps we're talking about more broadly security and stability of the Internet. One element of that security and stability is another word that perhaps you don't hear as often in ICANN, but I think it underlies a lot of what we do here, and that word is trust. The Internet is not going to continue to play the enormously constructive role that it has unless it has the trust of the people that are using it. Now, that trust can be manifest in many ways. Some of it is on the technical level, the trust that when you enter, you know, you type in some a domain name or a URL, you're actually going to get where you think you're going to go. That's an extremely important element of trust. But also, trust involves knowing who you are dealing with online, particularly in a business context, but not even just that. Even if it's information, what is the source of that information? If your children are online, who is it that's actually presenting material to them? Knowing who you're dealing with online is an important element of trust. It's a transparency question. It's also an accountability question. And in particular, in the world of commerce, when you are engaging in the transfer of goods and services online, you want to know where that's coming from. You want to know what's the origin of that of those goods and services, who stands behind them. And that really is the function of trademark law, to protect consumers and to give them a certain level of trust that they are dealing with who they think they are dealing with, and they can recognize a brand and know the quality of that brand and know what to expect when they're engaging in some type of transaction of goods and services online. I say all this to try to illustrate why, ever since the very beginning of ICANN, and I've been involved in it not quite as long as Marilyn Cade, but almost, ever since the beginning, there's been a recognition that protecting intellectual property is an important mission of ICANN, making sure that that trust can be protected, can be preserved, can be enhanced. And it again, it flows through in all the areas that I've just talked about. Trademark protection is certainly very important to so that, again, people know when they enter the name of a brand or they go to a website that seems to be affiliated with a brand, what level of trust and confidence do they have, that that's really where they are and it's not somebody trying to capitalize on their brand identification. Knowing who you're dealing with online, there is a resource that helps to achieve this. ICANN is a steward of that resource. It's called WHOIS. WHOIS is used in a lot of somewhat confusing and overlapping ways. Basically, the issue is to be able to know who you are dealing with online by being able to find out who has registered domain names and who is responsible or who stands behind what is occurring on sites or in other resources affiliated with that domain name. The final element of trust that I would emphasize here is that, you know, the healthy growth, the Internet has grown. It hasn't always grown in healthy ways. And a key element of the healthy growth of the Internet is making sure that it is not a lawless place, but a place where the rule of law does apply. Again, this is an accountability issue, a transparency issue, and for example, for my clients who have experienced over the last decade a huge issue about illegal activity carried out online that's really crowded them out of many, many markets around the world, this is also an important element of trust, that people and the consumers will know that if they're going to an electronic marketplace, an online marketplace, it's one that is well lit, it is one that is not doesn't have dangerous people lurking around the corner, and one where they can feel safe and have a certain level of trust in engaging in these transactions. So this is why the intellectual property aspect of has always been very integral to the discussions within ICANN. We are, like the business constituency, an international grouping. I think it's fair to say that most of our active members are in North America and Europe. I think that's something we're proud of, and I think we have been working on expanding our efforts to draw in businesses and individuals concerned with intellectual property protection around the world, because this is not a regional issue. This is really a global issue. We will be meeting tomorrow afternoon at 2:00 in the Marine Room. We'll be having some briefings from ICANN staff on a number of issues that are very current, some dealing with the rollout of the new generic top-level domains, some dealing with the negotiation of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, which that's an agreement between ICANN and the registrars, but I think all of us are stakeholders in that agreement, and one of the difficult things that ICANN has to do, and has many difficult things to do, is to represent the interests of all those stakeholders, of all those users, business users, individual users, and so forth, when it negotiates with the registrars the ground rules as to how they will operate. So that's another topic that we'll be discussing, and there are a few others. That we would welcome any of you to that meeting, and I know some of you are here for the first time, some of you are here perhaps for the second or third time. I think I would just encourage you to obviously you have an itinerary of where you plan to go during each day, but think about going to something that perhaps you wouldn't otherwise plan to go to, an area that you may not know a great deal about. That's a luxury that you have that some of us don't have and kind of envy you for, because we're very much in a channel of dealing with our issues, and we know pretty much where we have to be throughout the week. I've always found in the rare occasions when I have been able to deviate from that and to go to a session that I really don't know very much on a topic I don't know very much about and may not be directly related to the challenges that I face or my clients face tomorrow, I've often learned a great deal more in those sessions that I could, you know, it comes back to benefit me in the challenges I do have to face tomorrow. So I would encourage you to do that, and whether or not intellectual property is an area that you're involved in directly, professionally, I'd certainly encourage you to come to our meeting tomorrow afternoon. It's an open meeting in the Marine Room, I think, at 2:00. So I thank you again for the opportunity to at least introduce you to the intellectual property constituency, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Hi, I'm Rosalia Morales. I'm from NIC Costa Rica. We manage the .cr domain in Costa Rica. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts this early Monday morning. Well, my question revolves around trust that you've been talking about. Like, how, dealing with the new generic top-level domains, what have been the greatest challenges in maintaining this trust, and what steps have been taken in order to maintain the trust in the domain overall?
Thank you. That's a very good question. The new top-level domains really present challenges in two dimensions, if you will. One is a quantitative dimension. The steps that are taken now to try to preserve or defend trust in the existing generic top-level domains still apply in the, or will apply, I should say, in the new generic top-level domains, only there will be 70 times as many of them, or maybe more than that. And one question is whether the mechanisms that are in place now to prevent consumer confusion through activities like cyber squatting and so forth, or to deal with incidents and provide remedies for that. If something is not prevented, then you have to worry about how to remedy the problem that has been created. Will those mechanisms scale? Will something that works okay for 20 generic top-level domains work well with 1,500 generic top-level domains? Or are additional tools needed in order to do that? So the answer is some of both. There's some new mechanisms, such as a uniform rapid suspension program to deal with the most obvious cases of abuse, and that's proposed. But at this point, what are we, 9 months after the launch, or at least the opening of the application window, and perhaps less than 9 months from the first delegation of or maybe a year at the most from the first delegation of new generic top-level domains, the Uniform Rapid Suspension Program really exists only on paper. And it's not even a very big piece of paper at this point. So there are many challenges that still have to be met before all of these tools and mechanisms come into play. The other thing that I think is interesting here is not just a quantitative shift, but a qualitative shift. And I've noticed as I have reviewed the applications that many more of the registry would-be registry operators are saying that they will undertake some efforts to verify the contact data that registrants provide. In other words, to make sure that the information in the WHOIS database is at a higher level of accuracy than it is in the current environment, where there are very serious problems with accuracy. So that's to something of a qualitative shift, because today there's no requirement that the registrars in .com, for example, verify the WHOIS data that is submitted to them by the registrants or audited in any way. They have some reactive obligations, but not any affirmative obligations. So that's, I think, a qualitative shift and perhaps an important one. And it will be interesting to see 3-4 years from now how many of these new tools to either the ones that are intended to help us with a scaling problem or the qualitatively new tools like WHOIS verification, how much of that also applies back in the what we would call the legacy GTLD environment. We've had a lot of attention on the new GTLDs, but I often remind people that right now, today, October 15th, 2012, 100% of our problems are in the legacy GTLDs. 0% is in the new GTLD. So let's not neglect, and that, while that number is going to change over the years, the overall picture is going to take quite a while, I think, to shift. So let's not neglect the importance of building those trust mechanisms in .com and .net and the other GTLDs, and as well what we can do within ICANN to a limited, more limited extent is to help promote that within the country code top level domains as well. I hope that helps answering your question.
Definitely. Yes, we have a question here from the remote participation. Leon from Mexico says, how does the IBC deals with adequately protecting IP rights without breaking the internet principle of being free and open? I mean, how does the IBC structures policy in order to achieve a balance between IP rights and net neutrality of or freedom of speech, for example?
That's a pretty abstract question, but it's one that we have to grapple with all the time, I think, as intellectual property practitioners. I could just speak from the perspective of the copyright system and the trademark system. Both as legal systems, they incorporate this balance that I think the questioner is referring to. I know in the United States copyright law, there are a number of provisions intended to promote free speech and freedom of expression, and I think the same is true in the copyright laws of many other countries. And similarly, in the trademark laws, there's always provision for fair use and for using brand names in ways that clearly aren't intended to try to deceive consumers as to the origin of a product or who's providing a service. So I think those legal systems do incorporate the kind of balance that you're talking about. But I think it's a continual issue, and one that there's a lot of discussion within the community about where that balance needs to be struck, and has the pendulum shifted too far one way or the other. So it's not a question that has a simple answer, except I guess it's important to emphasize that the legal systems themselves embody a sense of balance on those questions. Hope that's a helpful response.
Part two from the question says, what kind of members does the IBC have? I have learned that there are voting and non-voting members. Is this right?
That used to be the case. We now have only voting members, and we have different categories of membership for individuals, for companies, and many of our members are associations. So some of them have tens or hundreds of thousands of individual or corporate members, and they have a different voting level because they represent so many individuals or corporations. It's an interesting problem because we now have a lot of interest in joining the intellectual property constituency from entities that already are acting as registrars or as registries, and this obviously is going to increase. Many IPC members applied for new GTLDs, or they represent their law firms that represent applicants for new GTLDs. So at some point soon, they will become contracted parties, as well as people concerned about intellectual property. And our bylaws state, and the GNSO operating procedures really require, that an entity can't vote in more than one constituency or more than one stakeholder group. So this is a kind of a problem because in order to make sure everybody had their voices heard, we modified our bylaws to eliminate non-voting members. And so we're now having to ask people who apply, well, if you're a member of another constituency, you can't vote in our you have to choose which constituency you want to belong to, because we only have voting membership at this point. So we may have to further revise our bylaws, but I think we do have individual members. We have members who are law firms or companies. We have members who are national associations, and we have members who are international associations. Those are the different categories.
Steve, thank you very much. And I want to thank you so much for your time and joining us here. If there are any other questions for Steve, you can send them through me. I'll make sure that he receives them here in the week, and encourage you to stop by tomorrow, as he said, when the ICANN staff does present to the IPC some updates on the registrar accreditation and new GTLDs. I think that would be an excellent stop, and I appreciate the encouragement to step outside of your comfort zone that Steve mentioned, to stop into a session that may not be what you are currently involved in, but it would certainly widen the horizons for you here while you're at ICANN for the week. Steve, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And so now within the commercial stakeholder group, Tony Holmes from the Internet Service Provider constituency is here with us. And Tony, welcome to the fellowship room, and the mic is all yours.
Okay. Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody. It's good and bad being the third person to go, because many of the good things, I think, have been explained about how we fit into the ICANN ecosystem. And as the ISPs and connectivity providers, we're basically currently the third leg of the CSG. We come at it from a slightly different perspective as ISPs, and our membership is made up of some of the really largest ISPs across the globe. It's made up of collective regional representatives as well. In various size, for instance, some represent large areas of the world, the ISPAs, the Euro ISPA, for instance, and others go down to small collective states in the US, for instance, where there will be some regional representation. And then we go right down to the lower levels of individual small ISPs. And, of course, it's a pretty important role, because without ISPs, then the internet just doesn't function. So the capabilities that we provide underpin all of the operations of the internet itself. Some of the smaller ISPs rely on the larger regional groups as a two-way channel. We certainly provide them with an update on everything that impacts them through ICANN. But that being said, we're a little bit different from the other constituencies in the CSG, because the nature of our business, the core provision of the infrastructure, means we need to get involved in many other allied activities from ICANN itself. Our members would obviously be very active in the regional internet registries. IP addresses is the lifeblood of all ISPs, and currently, as I'm sure you're aware, we're going through this dramatic change now that's occurred, where the IPv4 address pool has run out. Some of the policy implications from that also impact on some of the issues within ICANN, and certainly its relationship with IANA as well. Because of that, we also get involved in some of the wider debates, and as I entered the room, I was hearing Marilyn refer to some of the issues currently in the ITU that are taking place and in the various UN forums. And traditionally, some of our members, certainly the larger members, because of the linkage between the telecommunications world and the internet world, have been very active in those environments as well, and still are. But one of the things that's changed has been the move to support the multi-stakeholder model that ICANN is based on. And one of the responsibilities that I feel we have is taking that message out, that these two worlds do exist together, and in their own environment they fit very well. So it isn't a case of one or the other, but for the internet area, the multi-stakeholder model provides that totally new model that I think is something which has seen that the dynamics of the internet grow so quickly. and we're very keen to support that as well. Within ICANN itself, a lot of our work would focus on areas of security and stability of the internet underpinning its operations. And if I look at, for instance, at the GTLD program, we're in a slightly different position from the business constituency and the ISPs, because I think the challenging time for us with the expansion of the namespace, it actually comes when the names go into the root, because we have to ensure that the security is there, the stability of the system is there to actually handle that. And I think back to an earlier phase when we had a small expansion of the namespace. One of the things that became allowed through that work was the increase in length of the name itself. So we went from 3 characters to having longer names. And there was a problem there for many people. Initially, when those names got entered into the root, they didn't resolve. And as ISPs, we were really in the firing line, because in many cases, we're the one-to-one interface with the customers. And we had customers coming to us saying, you're blocking, as ISPs, you're blocking access to these new names. They're not resolving. And that wasn't the case. But because we had that close linkage with customers and were at the front end, we were their first point of call. So we had to do some work to find what was actually happening there. And what we found was it was actually at the application level, many of the software changes that needed to be made to enable those longer names to resolve hadn't actually been taken account of. And that gave us a real problem, because as ISPs and representing the ISP community in ICANN, we had links to members all over the world, but we didn't have links out there to the application providers. So there was an element that was missing that we had to provide the bridge on and try and help resolve that. And of course, having been through that experience, we are trying to look ahead with the expansion of the namespace to make sure that everything is there, so that when they're actually entered into the root, then they don't suffer from similar problems. That said, our interest as ISPs also expands into the areas that you heard Marilyn speak about and Steve speak about. And some of our members will be making the shift. They will be actually now looking to move into become contracted parties and actually have the responsibility for domain names themselves. So there's still those changes that we've yet to work through in terms of a constituency. But it's, I think, a vital element of the whole ICANN ecosystem that there is this close linkage with ISPs. And in terms of the infrastructure provision, in terms of stability and security, we very much see ourselves at the front end of that. So we work closely with the technical community, but also our work expands a little beyond that as well. And because of the diverse nature of the membership, many of the commercial facing issues that you heard Steve and Marilyn allude to also impact us as well. What we are keen to do is to make sure that we have the routes back right across the globe in terms of being able to dialogue with ISPs. Many of them are quite small. Many of them are very busy people. And we have different categories of membership where we hope to reach everybody through that mechanism. Every member of the ISP CP is a voting member. And the only limitation we have is the one that Steve referred to at the end of his talk. And that is that you can become a member of the constituency if you're an ISP or a connectivity provider, but you can only vote in one of the constituencies. And that's the only limitation we have upon that. So I think in terms of looking at the more technical aspects of the internet, we would see ourselves fitting into that space. But also we would see that we're a two-way channel for all of the policy issues that are being developed within ICANN that impact ISP business. So with that, I'd like to pause here and very happy to take any questions. Yes, please.
Thank you, Tony. My name is Victor Donang. I'm from Cameroon. I'm also part of the Internet Society Cameroon chapter, which is an at-large structure. We are working on the ground to make local entities be involved in, understand and be involved in what I can do. I have a simple question concerning, I was looking on the ICANN structure. From my understanding, ISP most dealing with I don't know if it's really true, but from my understanding, ISP is really most dealing with IP addresses. And my question is why the ISP constituency is not part of the addressing supporting organization, is just part of the GNSO. Thank you.
It's a very good question. In fact, I would say that as members, we are part of that community because as ISPs, we very much engage in all of the issues around IP addressing, but normally within the regional internet registries, which is where the policy is developed. Of course, the ISO has a very limited role. It's a coordination point for the regional internet registries, and we take a great deal of interest in the work of the ISO here and engage with them as well. And in fact, some of the ISPs would be directly represented in the ISO through the elections at the regional level. But our remit is far wider than just IP addressing. So the issues that I referred to, working closely with the Security and Stability Committee, making sure that anything that ICANN does that impacts core infrastructure or ISP business, the message gets out there. It isn't always about IP addressing. So if we were to become part of the ISO, our role would very much be limited by the boundaries set for the ISO, which is really focused on IP addressing. So it's for that reason that we find ourselves in the commercial stakeholder group. And I think one of the key areas to watch in future is going to be, well, one of the new areas that has been talked about a constituency forming has been for some of those who provide connectivity in a different way, cyber cafes, that type of thing as well. They're going to face some of the similar issues to ISP, and I would certainly see us working closely with those people as well. So it's really the breadth and scope of the area that we cover going beyond the ASO. But as I mentioned earlier, it's a tremendously important linkage with the work of the ASO because IP addresses, they're the lifeblood of ISPs. No IP addresses, and we will suffer from the same problem. We just can't provide service to our customers. Yes, please.
Good morning. My name is Fyodor. I'm from Russia, the second time. it's my second time fellowship. Well, you have just touched the topic of new GTLD acceptance from your point of view. If I may ask you for some details. For example, in Russia we have a Cyrillic TLD, and email services don't work for technical reasons. And now we have, among new GTLD, some applications in Cyrillic and in other languages, and we'll have the same problem. What are the most concerning issues from your point of view as a chair of ISP constituency? And what steps could be taken to probably prevent it or to deal with it?
Okay. With the introduction of IDNs, there's obviously going to be a number of technical issues that come back from that. And that is really dealt with in ICANN by certain subgroups of which we engage in that are responsible for the IDN area. And I think that area itself has proved to be so complex and it's required so much focus that it's appropriate that that wasn't done through the ISPCP, but was done with a far broader collective of expertise in that area. So what I would certainly encourage you to do would be to raise those issues with the specific committees working on IDNs. But I will also make the invitation to you that if you feel that there are specific elements of that that need to be resolved at the ISP level, and I'm not so sure that would be the case, then we would be very keen to have a dialogue with you. And please come along and talk to us while we're here. Very keen to help promote that. That is such an important growth area for ICANN. And one of the things I would really want to see is that in future rounds where we expand the namespace more, I think that's got to be the fertile ground. That's the way to get so many more people on the net quickly, by providing that type of capability. So anything we could do as a constituency to assist with that, we would certainly be keen to have that dialogue, whilst I should say at this stage that we haven't been at the forefront of that development.
Thank you.
So if there's no other questions, there we go.
Hello, my name is Vanessa Cravo. I'm from Brazil. I work at the National Telecommunication Regulator, but I'm speaking as an individual here. This is my first ICANN meeting. And I was wondering, as each constituency has its own views and represents the interests of its members, how the ICP constituency viewed and discussed the net neutrality debate? How do you see it? Thank you.
Well, certainly that's going to be a very hot topic in some of the conferences that are taking place towards the end of the year. And it's been an interesting situation for us, because you're probably aware of some of the developments that have taken place in Europe. Some of those parties that have taken a slightly different view on net neutrality are actually members of our constituency. So there is almost there's almost a tension there, because those members who are actively engaged in the ICANN process have been very supportive of the general approach, I think, that's been set before from this area, which is net neutrality is something we care about deeply. But the economics and the politics that have come out of that have actually taken a different route. Very often in those companies, I think there is a recognition that there are problems there that need to be addressed. And I wouldn't say at this stage that our view as a constituency have changed on this. We're very supportive of the net neutrality principle. We recognise that there are members who have raised the issue in a different way, in different forums. It's certainly going to become a really big debate at the end of this year. How that plays out has yet to be seen. As a constituency, we don't take an actual position on that. What we allow our members to do is to engage in those other forums where they're represented, be it the ITU, be it the UN forums, and actually represent their positions there personally. So it would really be inappropriate for us as a constituency to take a high stand on net neutrality when we had those tensions. And even within member organisations, they have those tensions as well.
We're good? Well, thank you, Tony, very much for joining us this morning. And do you have one on remote? Can we take one more?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Al.
This is Amr. His question is, does the ISP constituency consider the cyber cafe internet service providers? If not, where do you believe they should be represented in ICANN community?
Well, that's very much an upfront issue. We have looked in the past at whether they would actually fit within our constituency. And under the current bylaws for the constituency, there are some limitations in there that would make that quite difficult. So there is the emergence of that group. What we would see is a very close linkage with them, particularly on some of the key issues. But it would actually take a change in our bylaws to enable them to join us as a constituency. They do face some slightly different issues and view things in a slightly different way. I actually see strength in that group being represented in ICANN within their own right. But we would certainly see, in terms of some of the key issues, we would be working really closely with that group of people. And one thing I would like to make the point of saying is to join Steve and say that the ISPs also have a meeting here. It's from 2 till 4 o'clock tomorrow. And we would be very pleased to see you if you wanted to pop in and get a flavour of the ISPCP discussions. So everybody is welcome if you want to come along.
Once again, thank you so very much. And if there are any questions for Tony, just to start out the conversation, if you'd like to pass them through me, I'll get them to Tony, and then you can begin to engage in any conversation. So thank you very much. So, I'm taking one of my breaths. So we have quite the day ahead. As we talked about yesterday when we all started off together, today is the first time that our new CEO and President Fadi Chihadi will be speaking to the community really, you know, in that manner. And he met everyone in Prague, but this is really his opportunity to share with the community his vision. We as ICANN staff have been able to have Fadi in our office all summer long as he was trying to finish up his previous work on several boards and his company, and we're able to hear from him a little bit of how he's looking to transition ICANN into its next phase. And so we're very excited as well to join the community this morning in spending time with Fadi to really see his vision and how he's feeling. So it should be an exciting morning. I think we do need to bring some extra padding because it could be a long morning. So from the other sessions, especially for the newcomers, if you still haven't made your agenda or decisions for this morning, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to contact me at any time during the day. Please use the alumni around the table to check in with them around the day, over the day, and the newcomer lounge. So we're all here to make sure that you don't feel like you're wandering in the halls, but that you're actually sitting in a session room and engaging and learning and starting to build understanding. So I would strongly encourage you to stop by at one of the, either myself or the alumni or the newcomer lounge to better set the agenda if there's any questions at all. Do I have any questions from anybody before I introduce the young man at my left? Okay, great. Mohammed?
Thank you. I don't have any specific agenda. I want to welcome you all who have been selected in that program. It's a great opportunity for you, but also it's a great challenge as well. The opportunity for you is you have been selected not to represent yourself, but you represent the whole community you have behind you. And what is the challenge? The challenge is you have to interact to understand a very complex environment, but very touching. And everybody is open to talk to, so feel free to interact with people. Because your challenge is you have to go back home and try to interact with your local community and deliver really what you have seen, what you have learned. Because you have to see yourself as a new ambassador for that culture, that multi-stakeholder model, and it's really challenging. And that's really what I ask you to understand, that it's also an opportunity but a great challenge for you as well. So it's some of you are more lawyer-oriented, some more technical-oriented, so feel free to go to all the sessions you need to, and try also to interact individually, because people are learning a lot in this discussion. You get in a one-to-one discussion. So I'm in Senegal. I'm based in Africa. I have been involved in the addressing support community before I joined the GNSO, because I became a registrar as well. So just to answer the question of our colleague from Cameroon, it will be very overlapping issues that you're going to find in all the discussion we're going to have. Some of them will be pure technical. Some others go beyond techniques, because it involves more than that, like law enforcement issues, because we are seeing things happening in our environment when people need to protect registrants, because you have to go back home and understand and explain that there's a lot of things they need to do on field. I give you an example. Maybe it might be the case in all the other region, but in Africa, for example, if you register a domain name, the challenge is who registered the domain name? He's the owner, or the web developer, or the web designer, or the hoster. And at the end of the day, if some technical issue happened, the customer is lost, so he don't know whom to talk to. And if you go and want to file a case, he got a problem. The police station did not understand what he's talking about. And if you want to go to the court, same problem. The judge say, hey guys, I don't understand this issue, so it's beyond my jurisdiction. And it is this all challenging matters that you guys need to make in your environment people understand it and address it with the right people who need to learn to join us and to understand how to deal with this issue. And that's why I ask you to wear your new hat of this ambassador of this culture that is very complex, very evolving, and it's really challenging. And I welcome you in that ICANN environment that is transforming every single day. Nobody can tell you what's happening in 2 or 3 years. It's just a whole challenging issue, and that's really what is exciting. So welcome you guys, and that's only things I want to share with you for that opening ceremony. And don't miss the ceremony. That's going to be in 10 minutes, I said. Thank you.
And Mohammed didn't mention he was a former member of the ICANN board, and we're pleased to have him as a selection committee member for the fellowship selection process. So it's been my pleasure for the past almost 2 years to get to know Mohammed. And he has incredible experience and knowledge and an experience here that if you see him in the halls, he will not walk by you. He'll stay with you and explain to you. And I think the other thing about being an ambassador, we've talked about it before in the fellowship group, and there's a fear attached to it, and it's a good fear. Because when you step forward to be an ambassador to your region, and you have heard something about one part of what's happening in GTLDs or IDN or who is, you need to be very clear. There's a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of people who want to take a stand, and everyone has an agenda. Everyone has an agenda. And so it is fearful. You want to go back and you want to share, but make sure you have the documentation behind what it is that you're sharing. There's a lot of conversations. They aren't all true. So you need to be very clear about the documentations, especially if you're coming back from an ICANN meeting. I'll do it from that perspective. So there'll be transcripts posted in the schedule. There will be translations of the transcripts. There will be the PowerPoint presentations. And you really need to make sure that you've done the research to share the correct knowledge, not someone's impression, someone's agenda, someone's bias, but the correct information. Okay, to be a true ambassador. And you cannot speak on behalf of ICANN, but you do speak on behalf of your experience and use the true and factual documentation. Okay, so it is a little fearful, but it's challenging and it's wonderful, and it's a place we all need to step forward into and start to do. Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add to what Janice was saying, that the power is in the network. The power is not in the note. It means if you understand the internet in itself, it means individually, if we take ourselves, we do not represent much. But based on the network, we can do a lot of stuff. So don't see yourself as alone. What Janice was saying is if there is an issue that you don't understand much, you know who knows. And you know, I mean, a place where people talk the right thing and if you want to understand the right issue. And this is really what you need to build when you come here. Build your network, make your connection. That's what's going to make your power. And don't feel alone and don't be alone because alone you represent nothing. All right?
That's a great ending. I think we'll leave right there. Everyone have a great day. And please, again, any questions, just get me by email. Come find me. And we are back here tomorrow. Our first presenter is at 7:30, but that doesn't mean you walk in at 7:30. That means that you're here around 7. Get some breakfast, get some sharing between ourselves. Okay, and that we're ready for Olivier from the at-large when he comes in at 7:30. Okay?